Aileen, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a minute. I feel like we first connected like 7 years ago. And so I can't think how much you've continued to do with your platform.
You as well. Like you totally had a rebrand moment too. Cause when we spoke, it was Don't Keep Your Day Job. And then now you have your book, your podcast, and you're doing amazing.
So are you. Yeah. I think that's one of the really fun things that we can talk about and show people is that we are meant to continue to evolve and we are meant to continue to like shed our leaves and, you know, have new parts of ourselves come to life. And I think that we live in a world that sometimes makes us feel like we have to stay put and we have to know who we are at 18 and we have to choose a path. And I think a lot of people feel that there's so many more aspects to them that if you could continue to excavate your gifts, maybe you would have new adventures. So I'm really looking forward to diving into more about you. Tell us a little bit about what keeps you feeling so connected to your content, because you have been doing it for a while. And so it doesn't feel like you have any less enthusiasm for it. If anything, it almost feels like over time you get more connected to your community. So what is that like for you? Like similarly, you've been doing something for a while, but it continues to feel like it's authentic to you. Why is that? Why do you continue to love it so much?
I love that question. Yeah, I've been making content on Lavendaire for 10 years, but technically I had a YouTube channel before that since like 2007. So it's been a long time that I've been posting content online, but it's a constant alignment. I don't always feel completely aligned to what I do. Sometimes it feels like work and it feels like a chore, but then other times I feel very locked into, oh, this is my purpose. I'm where I need to be. But as you said, like change is a part of life. And what I wanted 10 years ago is not what I want now. I'm totally not who I am, like the person I was 10 years ago. And I think the way I continue to be excited about what I do is honestly just the constant checking in with myself. Does this bring me joy? Do I still want to show up in this way? And sometimes like me being a content creator, I still enjoy, I think I always love being creative. So I think that's the core that drives me. But the way in which I express myself, the formats and the different types of content that I create, I think that changes over time. Also the different parts of me that I show changes over time. And so that's how you stay aligned and that's how it stays fun. Because if you pigeonhole yourself to like one brand or one type of content, it can get old really fast. And I'm someone that I need to change things up. I need it to feel fresh and expressive of who I am right now in this moment. So I think that's part of the reason.
It makes sense. And it's such a beautiful answer. I think your audience knows how genuine you are. And that's part of the reason that they continue to show up. You know, you do have such a successful community and you talked about YouTube, but you've been on YouTube for a long time in different formats. But if somebody wanted to begin to have a YouTube channel, I think it's really overwhelming. And they think to themselves, why would I bother? Because I'm going to be a dot in a sea of so much. When you look back at your journey and you look at the way that you connect with people through your content, what do you think makes it successful? Why do you think it's taken off and had as much success as it has?
You know, sometimes I feel like I still don't know what I'm doing. Like I am not sure, to be honest. And it's funny that you mentioned like social media being so huge, like you are just a little dot, because when I started my channel in 2014, I already felt like it was so saturated that there were too many YouTubers, too many creators, that it almost felt like it was too late to start. And then now 10 years later, thinking back, it's like, no, it was so early. So that's always a perspective thing. But I think what I believe made my channel successful is a combination of my intention of creating this brand. Like I was very intentional about the tone, the style, the type of content that I would create and put out there. Because with the previous music YouTube channel that I had, I was not intentional with branding. I was not consistent or anything. So whatever I learned from that experience, I put it into Lavender. So it was like intentional branding, being consistent, I think is the most important thing, just posting, committing to posting once a week, even when no one's watching. And no one was watching for the first year or two. So I was literally using that as an experience to practice and hone my skills at making videos. So I think it's just the consistency of showing up over time, and you get better, you learn, you see what's working, you see what's not working. And it's a constant steering.
When you say no one was watching, first of all, I think it's really powerful, because I always talk about how we're very outcome driven as opposed to being journey driven, and the journey is the outcome. Like a kid, you don't play with your friends in the backyard or finger paint only because you're trying to get an outcome. You're doing it because you want to do it. And as adults, we lack sometimes joy and fulfillment because we don't do things just to do them. And we spend so much time anyway scrolling our phone that we have no excuse. It's not like, oh, we don't have the time. It's just that we are so outcome driven that we won't give ourselves the time unless we know the ROI. But what that is like, well, first I just did something to do it and to hone my craft. It's like, well, what a worthwhile pursuit. It's not just about the outcome, but it turns out that it wound up having success. And you said around the year and a half, 2 year mark, people started watching. Do you have a sense of what made it go viral or why that started to change? What was starting to change around that time?
Yeah. On YouTube, I think there are certain times where like you kind of catch a wave, like, oh, some video or some series starts to go viral. And I think in the past, I've had a few waves, but the first wave was 2015, the tidying the KonMari way. If you've heard of the Marie Kondo book. So I read the book and I got really inspired to declutter my life. I made a whole series about it. And it just so happened that obviously that book was popular, so people found my videos through that. But minimalism was also a very popular, trendy concept at the time. People were doing capsule closets. And so I was, you know, this whole journey of my life is experimenting what lifestyle and what life I want. So part of it was like, oh, like decluttering, let me embrace minimalism and see how this will change my life. I was just desperate for how I could level up my life because I was totally not where I wanted to be. So that was the first wave, 2015, minimalism, decluttering. It just got my channel like the first kind of wave in boost of views.
I love that. And I love that for you because it's so well deserved because it's so authentic. It's not like, oh, I'm trying to catch the wave by, you know, the tail wagging the dog. Like, I see that people like that, so I'm going to go create it. It's like, no, it was very natural for you. You're such a perfect person to implement and teach some of that stuff. And so it just kind of worked out like right place, right time, but the right person at the right place at the right time, you know? So
yeah,
that does make sense. One of the things that you've been successful at, multiple things, is you created what's called the Artists of Life workbook. And it's a guided journal to creating your most successful year. And you've sold thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of copies. Tell us a little bit about what it means to create your most successful year. Like, why did you create that? And what are some of the most important takeaways for somebody who wants to take a page out of the book, so to speak, and create their most successful year?
Yeah, I created the workbook as a compilation of a lot of the exercises and the system that I used and kind of built over time to create my dream life. Obviously, when I created the workbook, I was on the path, right, to creating my dream life, but I was deep into personal growth, reading self-help books, experimenting with different habit building techniques and this and that for a few years at that point. And I guess I got inspired to like put it all together, package it in like a PDF that I could sell to people. So it started out as digital. It became physical shortly after. But the whole premise of the Artist of Life workbook is getting super intentional. And first of all, it's like understanding yourself, understanding what you want, getting really clear about what you want, and then breaking it down in all the ways. So I think what's unique about the workbook is we guide you to plan your goals in all the areas of life. That it goes from like health, career, relationships, hobbies, spirituality, creativity, adventure. Like, I kind of encourage people to brainstorm and dream what they want in their life in areas that they're not used to dreaming about. Right? Like, what are your personal growth goals or what are your spirituality goals this year? And sure, some might be more important than others, but I think the workbook just has a lot of guided prompts to guide you through who am I? What do I want? What does success and happiness mean to me? What is self-love? Like, what do I love about myself? And then clarifying, what are my goals for this year in all the areas of life? And then there's a whole section where it's like, first you do quarterly goals, then you break it down to monthly goals, monthly reviews every single month, and then quarterly reviews at the end of every quarter. So, and then now in the newer versions, we kind of break it down weekly. If you want to get more nitty gritty, it's like, okay, how do I break my monthly goals down into weeks? Like, what am I doing week one, week two, week three, week four? So that really is the, I guess, the structural way that has worked for me in achieving goals, because sometimes goals are so lofty and they're just up there in the sky and it's hard to make them real. And so what I found is you just do your best to break it down. Obviously, life is not going to happen exactly the way you plan it, but you get so much further once you have that clarity.
It's so great just even listen to you say all because it's like, you know, that feeling when you go through a car wash and you like wash the car, get clean.
Yeah.
And you feel that feeling of like, oh, the car's clean. It's like,
I just love that.
Hearing you like say all of those things and break it down is like, it takes all of the crud off of like whatever it is that you're looking through.
And yeah.
You're like a clear lens at your life. And one of the things that I was thinking as you were saying that is how difficult those questions actually are. Because so often we're so out of practice. Like, what is my dream life? I don't know. What do I want my day to look like? I don't know. And part of it is because we've told ourselves for so long that it's not possible. So that's number one. And number two, my friend Tracy says, we manifest at the speed of safety.
Ooh, I love that.
And I think what she means is that when our nervous system is wired into struggle, we're addicted to pressure and we're addicted to stress. And so actually asking those kinds of questions, we don't even feel that we have the capacity.
It's like you're not allowing yourself to dream sometimes, or you don't believe it's possible for you.
Right. Almost because there's some, like, there's a way in which the cortisol and the stress is all we know. And so someone telling you that your life can feel like a vacation at first, almost you
it's
love
like a lie. Concept. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's like you love the concept of dream life, but then when you actually ask yourself the questions, what would be your dream life? What would be this? What would be that? How do you want to spend your day? You're addicted to feeling stress to the point where you won't even choose the ease.
Yeah.
You won't even choose it. And so when you're working with people and talking them through this, instead of this just being like a cute bumper sticker, like dream life, instead of it just being like an idea, mm-hmm. how do you work with people to get them to come up with what the answer is? Like, okay, my dream life is actually this. And what I also will say is, it's really interesting how the world tells us what the answer should be. Like, some people think that their dream life, obviously the answer is supposed to be living in the biggest house, making the most amount of money, and being famous or something like that. When it's like, well, is that your version of a dream life? Or is that Hollywood's version of a dream life? Like, what is your dream life? I'll just say for myself, I've been watching videos for years of like, people curled up and like reading a book and sitting next to a fire and having slow mornings and living on the slower pace. And it's been my sort of like North Star of like continuing to get to a place where my nervous system is safe enough to choose it for myself and to really choose that as my actual life, not just something I daydream about. So that's for me. But what would
you say? I love what you shared because it's so real how so many of us are trapped in our own box, whatever that box is. Yeah. So the first step of figuring out what you want in your dream life is to question what you think you want, because it might not be what you truly want. It might be what your parents told you, what society thinks is right. And so it's learning to separate what is you, like your true desires, feelings, wishes from what is outside of you, because oftentimes we're so influenced by what's outside of us. That's one part. And then the other part is, like you mentioned, we have so many limiting beliefs that don't even believe it's possible. So many people like stop themselves before they even allow themselves to dream. I've naturally been more of a dreamer type of person. So I love dreaming big. And even if I don't get there, it's fine. I love just the imagining of it. But I know some people won't even do that because, like, if it's not going to happen, like, why go there? But for people who struggle with figuring out what that dream life is, I would just say start with the feelings and start small. Start with how you want to feel every day. Like, if you have a job where you wake up and you're dreading it, you're waking up exhausted and you're hating going to work and whatever, that's not the ideal. So what is the ideal, right? You want to wake up feeling refreshed. You want to get enough sleep. You want to be connected with your loved ones every day. Like, think of those facets that are, it doesn't have to be so big and lofty. Oh, where am I living? What does my house look like? It doesn't have to be like that. It's really about the feeling that you want to feel as your ideal self in that ideal life. And it can be as simple as, I feel calm and my nervous system is at peace, right? Or it could be anything. And what's beautiful about this dream life concept is there's no judgment to what you want. There's no good or bad, better, worse. I really empower everyone. Like, you get to choose exactly what you want. I'm not here to judge. Like, there's no one here that's going to say, like, oh, that's not a good dream life. Like, that's a terrible dream. You know, like, it's what you want. So depending on what your level of, like you said, safety, some people only feel safe dreaming within this confines. Fine, start there. That's okay. But, like, how can you make your situation more ideal? If you are the type that loves to dream big, then do it. Go big, go hard. So it really is like however you want to do it. But the whole point is you have the power to envision who you want to be and the life you want for yourself. And it is so possible to control so many aspects of that. You realize that there's so much in your control. It just begins with the intention, like where you focus your attention as well.
Oh my gosh. I just love everything you just said.
Thank you.
And I love that part about if you're having trouble getting an answer of what do you want in your dream life? I like when you just said, like, how do you want to feel? Go to the feeling. Do you want
it really is the feeling. We think we want a lot of money. We think we want like all the success, but it's not exactly the money we want. It's the feeling of security, the feeling of abundance. It really is like, that's it. And that makes it so easy to like manifest because you just tap into the feeling and then you're like, oh, I can live my dream life now. Like, even if like the exterior might not look like it, but the interior feels like it. And so it just feels so much better living that way.
Yeah. I know for me, one of the main reasons, among other things, but one of the main reasons that I think I got really into what I'm doing, why I have as much conviction about it, is because when I was growing up, my mom was really depressed and she suffered, you know, tremendous sense of just not feeling fulfilled or not feeling a sense of purpose. And my parents had a horrible divorce and it was just a lot of like brokenness. And I was then left with a lot of questions. And so as a result of some of that, it actually propelled me to become like a seeker and devour self-development work. And you and I are both really interested and really, it's such a big part of our lives is continuing to get beyond whatever is keeping us small, right?
Yeah.
So what was the impetus for you? Like mine was that story. Like what was it about this that became so compelling? Why?
To get into self-development.
Why is journaling and affirmation help and designing dream lives? Like, what do you think for you was like that sort of thing that propelled you into this?
Yeah, if I'm being completely honest, when I was young, it was that feeling of I'm not enough and I want to succeed and I want to prove to others that I could do it when they didn't believe in me, right? I also had a lot of pain in my past, my childhood, and really difficult relationship with my parents, especially my dad, like kind of an estranged relationship, but he still had a lot of pressure on me and the family. And I basically was living my life, I call it on autopilot up until the end of college. And when I say autopilot, I simply mean I did as I was told. I got good grades. I did well in school. The path was set laid ahead for me. And I think my impetus was also, I don't know what I want to do in life. I know it's not get a job, work in an office, corporate life. So I need to figure that out. And I need to find a way to make it or else. because I don't know, those years I was really fighting with my dad about what career I would take. And I studied business. I was going to go into, I don't know, marketing or maybe finance, but I loved music. I mentioned I was on YouTube playing piano and singing since high school. And so I made the decision at that point to pursue creativity. I wanted to pursue being an artist because that life just seemed so fun and exciting to me, right? And it was the biggest fear of my parents because they're like, no, you cannot be an artist. It doesn't make money. Artists are crazy people. You're not an artist. Like just anything they would say to get me to not do it. But I don't know, something in me was like, I need to pursue and carve my own path and figure out a way to make it. And I'm going to prove to you that I can make it. So there was that unhealthy like trauma in there, definitely, that fueled this, the drive to succeed, because I had no plan B. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out no matter what. And I spent a couple years like pursuing music, acting, TV hosting, work, marketing, anything that, like, I had a couple years where I just said yes to all these random opportunities to experience life and explore. And through that exploration, I learned what I liked and what I didn't like. And in the end, I started a YouTube channel to share everything that I learned in my journey. And although I was not externally successful, I was not making money, I didn't have a job, like no full-time job. I kind of was a failure compared to my peers, but I was feeling really fulfilled in life. And I was like, what is this? Like, I took a new path and I'm having a lot of fun, right? I'm meeting creative people, filmmakers, I'm traveling to do short films. It was a really fun period in my life. I did a singing competition on Taiwanese TV and I was like, this is so much fun. Like, I get to do whatever I want in life and figure it out. So anyway, that's kind of what inspired me to create Lavendaire, was this idea that, wow, I did not have to follow a set path. I can literally do whatever I want, create whatever I want with my life. And of course, I was having a lot of fun, but I also had so much anxiety and a lot of like, how am I going to make money? How am I actually going to succeed and make this work? So I was reading. That's what got me really into self-help books. Like, what is my purpose? How do I find my career? How do I succeed at this? How do I become a good artist? So I was studying how to become a good artist. And I think all of that just kind of like meshed together and became this framework of life is an art, make it your masterpiece. And that's the basis of Lavendaire and the brand. And I think that's why the brand is so strong, because I had that tagline and that mission from the start. Like, my life is going to be kind of an exploration and experiment to how much can I actually create my dream life? How much can I actually like be intentional and create everything that I want? And I didn't know it was possible at the time. I had so much self-doubt, but I tried. Like, I started the new blog, the new YouTube channel.
Oh my gosh. Good for you. Good for you. It's so inspiring. And I agree with you. I have no doubt that that's why it really connected with people, because it comes from such a visceral place inside of you, where you were totally willing to take off the pressure of other people and follow your own North Star. And when somebody does that and they've actually done that for real, and then you're creating content from that place, that is felt, right? Like, that it registers with other people. And I'm sure that there are countless ripple effects that people have given themselves permission to do that because you did that. And I hope that you go to sleep at night and like know that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because people need that, right? Like, depending on the family that we grew up in or the different ways in which we were raised, we don't necessarily know that we have the choice. And when somebody else does it, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. That's why I often say that when you create content, for me, it's not look at me, it's come with me.
I love that.
Yeah. And so, speaking of that, you've talked to so many people. You have over almost 2.5 million plus subscribers. What do you think is one of the biggest pain points that you've found from your viewers? And what is the way that you try to help that? Because obviously what we just said is probably where it all begins. And once you're talking to them, and now it's been like years, What do you think is the next pain point that they usually have that you help them overcome?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I'm confident in knowing the biggest pain point, because I have evolved and my audience has evolved over time as well. I can't keep talking about, oh, that feeling of the phase of being lost in life, because I think that a lot of it is maybe early 20s or something. But I think one pain point that I think almost everyone can relate to is the feeling of not being enough, like that struggle with your self-worth, right? I mean, that self-worth is something that I struggled through and had to heal everything, like just throughout my journey. And I think we were speaking about the beginning part of my journey where I was fueled by success and the achievement. Of course, my worth was tied with my achievement then. And then the later, I would say the past 4 years or so has been learning so much healing, letting go. I love the topic of letting go of limiting beliefs right now, because you realize that everything that's holding you back is just in your mind. And the better you are at learning to like work through that, just the more powerful you become. So that's something I love to do. That's why I love positive affirmations. That's also like a really big topic on my channel as well. People just want to be able to rewire their mind, change their self-talk.
I know. I was going to actually ask you that, because it's really, I was going to ask you to share three of your favorite positive affirmations.
Oh, okay. Take One that time. I always repeat to myself is, my life is abundant and full of joy. I just love that one. I love, I am enough. I am doing enough. I have enough. I am enough. Just that reminder that I am enough. Another one that, I mean, I have so many, but one that comes to mind is, I am love and I am light. Just a reminder to embody love, embody light, and live through that every day.
It's so beautiful. You have continued to just keep growing in terms of what you share. And you also have a shop. Tell us about why you love this shop and what are your best-selling items? Like, because I think most of the people listening probably agree with me. Like, it's so fun to go into like a paper goods store and like walk around and you just feel like the whole thing is like a beauty bath. Mm-hmm. So I love that you create stationery and journals and books. Why do you love it? And what's the thing that you sell that people love most?
Oh, I love stationery. I've been journaling ever since I was a kid. Literally, when I began to write, I would take notes. Oh, my brother was annoying today. I just always kept journals. And then through junior high, high school, I still have my journals where I just write all my emotions, my crushes, my boyfriends, my exes. So I've always been a journaler and I've always loved stationery and collecting stationery. So that's why it's really fun to be able to design my own. But yeah, the product that started it all was the Artist of Life workbook. And that still is the best-selling one, because that's, I think, the most impactful product because it's so cohesive, right? But some other favorite products, there's a journal called the Joy Journal. And that's a simple, 5-minute everyday gratitude and joy journal, morning, evening, easy. I really like that. And that's really great for beginners. And then I created this deck called the TBH deck, which is, it's like part journal prompts, part conversation starters. Cause I thought I kind of like that idea where either you want to go deeper and reflect with yourself, or you want to go deeper with the people in your life. So the questions are questions that, go deeper. Cause normally when you're having conversation, sometimes you only scratch the surface. And you find that the better questions you ask, then the better answers you get, right? The more you learn about a person. And so I think there's beauty and magic in just asking the right questions, even to people that you see every single day, or even questions to your parents, right? You'd be surprised at the answers you get.
I know. I'm looking at it right now. I'm just going to read some of the questions in the deck. What are the life lessons that you've had to learn over and over again? Who do you tend to compare yourself to and why? What are 5 things you've achieved in your life that you're proud of? I just think you're right. It is so cool to go deeper. And I love that you invite people to do this with other people, but also with themselves. And I find that most of the time, what does it say? There's that quote that says, we're not tired from doing things. We're tired from spending our time doing all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And meaning that so often we've just had zero self-care. There's nourishment for ourselves, we're totally depleted. And one of the things that you do is really give people the reminder to take better care of themselves and going into that deeper reflective place. Like, because at the end of the day, if you said the truth before, which you did, which is it's all about a feeling, there's no amount of achieving or there's no amount of likes on Instagram or money that will ever fulfill the ways you self-abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have self-abandoned all the time and you don't ever spend any time with a cup of tea and yourself, you're going to have to literally like traverse the earth, and you'll find that no amount of any of these achievements comes close to like 30 minutes where you're like, oh my God, what a luxury. It just took 30 minutes to do nothing but be. And so I'm curious what some of your favorite self-help, helping yourself, self-love, self-soothing, mm-hmm. self-nourishment practices are. And what are some of those that you've shared with your audience that they loved?
Yeah, I think the key to enjoying life and living a good life is to always stay connected with yourself, like to know what you need and give yourself what you need, whether it's self-care or whether it's adventure or whatever, because only you know what's best for you at any given moment, and it changes over time. So I love that you mentioned that. Like, it's so important to connect with yourself. What I find really nourishes me the most and builds that self-connection really are like the simple habits of meditating and journaling. I love those two. And those are just kind of the ways I connect with myself and I understand what's going on in my head. And I'm my own therapist where I like talk myself through. I like reframe my thoughts to positivity. I do all the work through journaling, honestly. And I mean, I'm huge into just overall self-care wellness practices. Like I love skincare, red light therapy, eating nutrient dense foods, just eating healthy, getting enough exercise, being really consistent with that. Cause that's a journey in itself. It's hard to be consistent with exercising and moving your body, but these are the basics, right? Like getting enough sleep is a priority for me. Yeah, just the basics. But on top of the basics, other things that I also like in my self-care practice, because I like to connect with like the spiritual intuitive side, is I love tarot cards actually for helping me with like decisions in life or just general guidance, because I like to invite guidance. I can be really indecisive. Yeah, those are the big ones.
That's like music to my ears. I feel like I'm older than you. I'm 45 and it's only recently, like, I mean, like very recently that I even like remember to eat. Like,
yeah.
I think for, you know, I have 3 kids and this business. And I think for a long time, I was just kind of in a pressure cooker of like, I wanted to build what I was building. I'm, you know, having a baby, pregnant with a baby, nursing a baby.
It's crazy.
So much
going on. I can't imagine.
Yeah. And I think I just forgot to eat. It would be like 1 o'clock and all I had was coffee. And a friend of mine's a dietitian. She's like, no. You need to eat all the time. She was like, you need to eat like every 3 hours. And I don't care if you eat Ritz crackers at first. I just need you to eat. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. She's like, you're so malnourished. Like, you just need to start eating. And food is love. And then she came to my house for dinner and there were 12 people here. And she's like, you made such a beautiful dinner. Why don't you cook for yourself? I'm like, I never cook for myself. I only cook for like 12 people. Mm. And she's like, but food is a way of loving yourself. You know, like you need to make time to eat. So it's one thing for people to say that, but I'm going to ask you a question. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Do you actually do that, what you said you did? Because I find that especially when we have some level of success, there is no end to the notifications on your phone. There's no end to what you can keep working on. Do you actually like create white space in your calendar and do nothing, or use the time to take care of yourself rather than work?
Yeah, I've been in that stage where I overwork myself and I'm stressed and I'm not eating or I'm not doing all the self-care practices. But I would say in the past 3-4 years, I'm really good with doing nothing and having open space in my schedule. Obviously, it doesn't always look like that. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed and everything's crazy, but I need space. like I am not my best self if I don't have that space to myself. Like I love having an open day with no schedule so I can meditate and journal for as long as I want. I can cook myself a meal. I also think food is love. When you're cooking yourself a meal, you're like nourishing yourself, you're treating yourself. And I love that concept. So I like doing things slowly. So yeah. I can't be slow. And then I'm like, oh my God, 5 hours went by. And then I was just doing my morning routine.
Yeah.
So sometimes I am like that, but it's a balancing act because when I prioritize my self-care, my business goes number two. My career goes number two. So I sometimes, yeah, things are not as successful as they could be. But I think I've come to a place where I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with career, business, whatever, success, not going at full speed, but going at a speed of balance. I love, there's this quote, success at the speed of balance. Mm. And I love that because it's, what's true success is you feel good. It's like you feel healthy, your body feels good. So success is not just like business and money, whatever. It's also how you feel and how you treat yourself.
I love that. We both have used the word, you use the word today. I use it in my platform, in my book, like the idea of manifesting a beautiful life. Tell us what your definition of manifestation is and an example of how manifestation shows up in your life.
Ooh, okay. I define manifestation, I truly do believe in the law of attraction, where whatever energy you embody and whatever thoughts you put out, you are attracting those thoughts, that reality to you. I truly believe that. And I honestly love manifestation books. They're one of my top listened and read books because they just put me in such a good energy. They remind me of like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the simple universal truth. Like I forgot that I was worrying too much about this thing.
That's right.
It's all just helps you realign. So I truly believe that manifesting is you become what you desire, like you embody it with your feeling, your emotions, everything, and you act as if you are that person. Like once you start to believe it, then the reality just comes true naturally. And sometimes it's fast, sometimes it takes longer. It really depends on a lot of factors, I want to say. But how it showed up in my life, I would say a lot of my successes I manifested. When I started my YouTube channel and I had like 10 subscribers, I would go out to networking events and I would be like, I'm a YouTuber. Like, even though I wasn't really, you know, you're not big, you're not making any money, but I would just say it just to feel like I am that person. And eventually I started to embody that person. I love design. So like when I envision something in my head, I love seeing it in reality. Like I recently designed and renovated my house. I spent a whole year renovating. So it's just the fact that I manifested this home, this reality, because it was literally the feeling that I envisioned. I'm creating a calm and peaceful, creative space for myself. And so I totally believe in manifestation. Of course, I believe in like taking the action and doing the work.
Yeah.
But it begins with the thought and the energy.
Yes. And ultimately, what did you say earlier? What do we really want anyway in our dream life is the feeling.
The feeling.
Yeah. And so really, if you have the energy right now, you've already manifested what you wanted, which was that energetic. Right? Yeah. Feeling that. And then whatever comes, it's gravy.
Yeah.
Speaking of energy, what is an energetic practice that you love to do, whether it's meditation or visualization? Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned affirmations, but what's one energetic practice that gets you into alignment?
So aside from what you mentioned, I love meditation. I love listening to affirmations and audios. Another thing is like, I love using music to enter me into like a different energy because music is energy. Music is vibration. We are vibration. So, yeah. And I'm a musician, so I love music. Yeah. So I love, usually I play calm, peaceful music because I want to like calm myself down. But I use music to kind of design my feeling. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I wake up and I have this playlist that's like big band jazz because I want to feel big and alive and energetic. Yeah. And so sometimes I play that. Like sometimes you're in the mood for like, I want to like be energetic and dance. And I do believe dancing is healing. Like literally it does so much for you, for your energy, for your expression. I love that you can choose what music depending on how you want to feel. Like if you want to feel contemplative and peaceful, then play that playlist. If you want to get excited and dance, you play that playlist or whatever in between. So that's something that I don't think people talk about as much as the others.
Nope. And I totally agree with you. My kids, it's like you get in the car with me wherever we are driving, the music is like full blast and it's the most energizing, fun. Yep. I just love driving because it's like
it's a party.
It's a rocket ship to all of the most beautiful feelings. And it's not nothing because you're right.
Oh, yeah.
We are made of vibration and a sound bath is a sound bath. And yourself.
And just, also like singing. If you sing, that's also healing because it's expressive.
Yeah.
Something about it.
It's true. There's all this data on like why having some kind of hum underneath your breath actually is regulating to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it's why people, you know, do mantras and chanting. Speaking of sound, you also have a podcast and I don't forget for people to know because my listeners might like podcasting and listening to podcasts more than maybe even YouTube but for sure they can go get it all. Just tell us real quick, like why they should check out the podcast and, you know, why they might be intrigued by it.
Ooh. So my podcast is called The Lavender Lifestyle. I've been posting on it since 2016. So we have a huge library of interviews with people who have created their dream life and are telling and sharing their stories. And also a lot of experts in all the areas from self-development to spirituality to, I don't know, business success. What I'm proud of the most is the wide range of topics. Like we have neuroscientists and therapists, but we also have numerologists and astrologists. And because like I kind of believe everything can be a tool and a resource. I'm not a person that kind of like shuts something out. I'm open-minded. Like I love when people come on my show and they surprise me, like medical intuitives where they can sense what health issues you have and they see spirits or I don't know. There's so many different types of people out there where we can learn something from everyone. So that's what I love about my podcast is the wide range of topics for all the different facets and ways that you can level up your life.
This was so good. And just like, I feel like being with you put me in a sound bath.
Oh my God, I love that. Thank you.
Something so coherent about your energy. It's just, it is so pristine.
Oh, that's such a compliment.
It's beautiful. Like your intentionality and the way you just show up and how open you are to love and infinite possibility. No wonder you really create a lot of beauty. Like it's beauty in your energy. It's beauty in your work. It's beauty in the products you create, in the videos you make. And I think we're all here to marvel at beauty and it's beautiful, really. It's captivating. So I'm so happy that we connected again and I'm looking forward to continuing to connect more. So tell everybody where they can best find you. Where do you want to send them to?
Oh my gosh. First of all, thank you so much, Kathy. That is such a beautiful compliment. It really, and also this conversation just felt really good. You know, when you just feel good in your body. So thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this to me. Everyone out there can find me on YouTube and Instagram. The name is Lavendaire. And of course, I mentioned my podcast, The Lavendaire Lifestyle. And if you want to check out our stationery products and the Artist of Life workbook, the website is shop.lavendaire.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on. And I personally am such a fan of watching your stuff. And it's just, I'm encouraging everybody to give yourself 10 minutes to either listen to her podcast or watch her content because you're going to just be put in such a good mood.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And I'm excited to have you on our podcast as well.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yay.